the word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for who you are and all that you've done for us. And not just what you've done for us years ago, but what you do for us today and every single day. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do here today. And we look forward to you, Holy Spirit, teaching us what you would have each one of us to get, both during my time of sharing and Pastor Bill's time of sharing. We have an expectation for you to have something for us, and we look forward to it. Thank you again, Lord, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So now I'll ask you again. Once again, it doesn't take a show of hands, but I did give you a homework assignment last week. Teachers do that, you know. if you've been in school, there's typically homework. And hopefully you did it. And once again, there's not a test to find out whether you did or not. But what I'm going to do is give you another homework assignment. It's really the same type of assignment, just with a different verse. Okay? And I do this because I do believe it's fully to your benefit. In other words, to do these things. It's up to you to choose whether to do it or not. I can't force you, and I'm not trying to. But if you do it, you'll reap the benefit of it, okay? And I want you to reap the benefit of it. So this week's verse that I'd like you to meditate on, because we talked about how keeping God's word, literally in that passage where it says we're to keep his word, it literally means to guard by putting your eye upon it. Okay? That's what it means to keep it. In that verse, it didn't mean to do it. Now, later it says we are to do it, but it literally means to guard by keeping your eye upon his word. So, and that's what happens when you meditate on his word. You look at it, you see it, and then you just keep it in front of you all the time. And so this week's verse is going to be Psalms 68, verse 19. So if you want to jot that down, or just put it in your memory bank, and this is not the whole verse. There's one phrase at the end, but the part that jumped out at me, and I've been meditating on this one already this last week, and all I can say is the benefit is the same as before. If you can meditate on this word and not be thankful to God, I'll say there's something wrong. That's just it. It says there, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. How's that? Do you know you're loaded? We are loaded daily with the benefits that God, and literally when you look that word up, it means you're so loaded that you can't hold them all. It's like almost too much. But he loads you with his benefits. Now, once again, if you can think of that and not smile or not thank God, I don't know how you do it, is all I can say. So it's a good thing to be meditating on scriptures like that throughout the week. So there's your homework assignment this week. So for the last several weeks now, God has had me share with you about love, in particular different aspects of love. God started sharing this with me specifically the very first day of January, and he hasn't stopped. And all I can say is he kind of impressed upon me, well, you've got quite a bit to learn here. And in fact, when I first started these teachings, I remember sharing with you that I'm going, okay, am I really the one to be sharing this? If I'm the one learning it now, should I be the one sharing it now? And God has confirmed, yes, I can do that while I'm learning and he'll still get to you what you need to get. In other words, those areas where I have shortcomings and haven't seen it or walked it out quite yet, he'll still get it to you so that you can walk it out whether I'm there yet or not. He has each one of us moving along from wherever we're at to wherever he's taking us. And we're all at different places. And what I've found is in everything that we're all in different places, but he's not going to leave us there. That was actually one of the teachings that I did, was the focus was on he wants us to increase and abound in love, which means he's going to give us more and more revelation of who he is, and specifically who he is as love, so that we can move on from where we're at and step up to another level. And then from there to another level. And what he impressed upon me was, he says this how it works. But see, in his word, he says he gives us the desires of our heart. If you're not looking for it, if you don't want it, he's not going to force it down your throat. Okay? So he's looking for people that have a desire to increase and abound in love. And that I have. So that much I've got. Whether I've gotten to where he wants me to be yet, I have that desire, so I know he's going to keep doing that for me. And each one of you can too. Okay? So, and once again, I can't force you to have the desire. That's with you and God, okay? But all I can tell you, that's the place that I hope you're at. And I'll pray that you're there, because there's no place better to be is to have a desire for the things that God desires. Because if you can have that, it's going to happen, because it says he's going to give it to you. So what we said from the beginning here is there's a key to this. And it's in what I just talked about. Every one of us are in different places. The key is just take your next step. By that, once again, it's not a literal step, but whatever it is you're about to do next. And that's, you could be doing 50 different things during your day. Maybe 100. But each one of those, you need to make sure you're doing it in love. The Bible literally says, let all that you do be done with love. That's every single thing. So that doesn't mean you do 10 things today and you thought about doing it in love, and then you do the other 90 and you never considered it. It's literally, as we also talked about, when you're first learning, God's given you a revelation in an area of love, and you know that this is one that you really need to get a hold of, you actually have to consider it, which means to think about with the intention to act that way in love, based on the revelation he's now put in front of you that you may not have been fully walking in before, but he wants you to step up into it. And at that point, you literally have to think about it as you go to do something. Oh, God's given me this revelation. I need to do this way to do it the way that God wants me to. See, once you've done that over and over and over again, then his character gets worked in you, and you don't necessarily have to do that. It just becomes who you are, and you'll do it. But initially, you do have to consider it. And some areas, God's already worked certain things into you, so you'll just do it. And I can tell you, even what I've shared, some of it I've been walking in for 35 years. Does that mean I have it all? Oh, I know I don't. I still get lessons. In fact, I've talked to him. I talk to God like he's there. And I something will come up in my life, and I'll go, God, I thought I already passed this test. I've literally said that to God. And what I get back in my spirit is, yeah, you did, but you have more to learn. So here it is again, and we're going to teach you more. And then as I walk it out, I find out, yep, there was more to learn. And he shows me literally as I go through it, this is why you have this test. It's because, yeah, you passed what looked like the same thing before, but you didn't get everything. And now I want you to get this. So he will give you tests over and over again. And tests when they are from God is a good thing, because that's what's going to solidify it in you. And so one of the things I want to go to here at near the very beginning is to go back into something that we've already talked about to point out one more thing. And it's, how would I put this? I would think and would guess all of you know it, but even in my own life, just because I know something doesn't mean I think about it and do it every time. No. Once again, just me being honest. I can know it and still not do it, is what I'm saying. And that leads to repentance and asking for forgiveness. But sometimes keeping something in front of you makes it so you're less likely to not do it, I guess would be the way I would put it. And so I'd like you all to look at Psalms 103, verses 17 and 18. Psalms 103, verses 17 and 18. And this really applies to a couple of the aspects or areas of love that I've shared with you in the last couple of weeks. And sharing this before we move on, because one of the points that I've made, that God has had me emphasize through his spirit, even though we're talking about each one of these aspects or areas separately, they're all love, they're all of God, and if you're just doing one of them without all the rest of them, it's really not love. But what you will also find is you really can't do one area without doing the other ones. You'll come up short even in the area you think you're walking in. The example that we talked about, and we're going to look at another one of them today, is we first talked about long-suffering. And after sharing on long-suffering and giving my own life example of walking in it and through it and God teaching me from the test that he had put me in, was the fact that until I put into practice an act of loving kindness, it wasn't until then that I could truly fully walk in the long-suffering one, okay? And that was because loving kindness, a simple definition, probably a little oversimplified, but it's the way I often think of it, is literally love in action. Loving kindness is good acts out of kindness, the goodness of God. And it brings you to act. Well, in the example of long-suffering that I gave to you, the good act that was missing for me, and if it's missing for anybody going through long-suffering, you will not be able to long-suffer for long, which means you're not long-suffering. It's that simple. If you're walking in something that's going to exist, has existed for a period of time, and it's going to keep persisting for a period of time, this means that you're walking in it with people. There's something going on here. Because if it was situations and circumstances, we're talking about patience. Long-suffering is with people. And so, in my own example, there was a person and then two people, per se, involved. And the key wasn't until the loving kindness, which was me walking, giving mercy, specifically forgiveness. If you try walking out long-suffering without forgiveness, you're going to find real quick you won't be able to do it. It just doesn't work. And so it's like two different aspects as we're looking at this of love, long-suffering, loving-kindness, but you can't do one without the other. And what you'll find is it's the way with all of these as you start tying them together. It all works this way. And what we're going to show today is what God has led me to share with you is that everything in the Bible, and I don't think I'm wrong in saying this, everything in the Bible that you look at, you need to look at it through God's eyes. And who is God? God is love. So in other words, it's looking through it, looking at it through the eyes of love. Okay? If you're going to get a full revelation, picture of whatever it is you're reading about in the Word, you need to be doing it through the lens or eye of love. Then you'll get a better understanding of whatever that aspect, whatever that thing is you're looking at. We're going to spend some time looking at where the Bible actually tells us that. See, it's one thing for Pastor Bill or I to say something, but how do we say that? Well, it's based on what the Word of God tells us. And the Word of God actually tells us that. Okay? So that's what we're going to spend the bulk of the time today, is saying that. If you remember back last week, hopefully y'all can remember that far. Do you remember how Pastor Bill started his sharing time with us? I'll let you think for a second. It stood out to me because I already knew what I was going to be sharing this week. This had been prepared about a month ago. And he shared right at the very beginning, and the word he used was foundation. He said the foundation for everything that you're going to do is in faith and love. You can go back and listen to it from last week. And that's what he said right at the very, the first 5 minutes of what he talked about last week. And that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next half an hour here today. The starting point is literally faith and love. And so first let's look at that Psalms 103, 17 and 18. I think I've talked enough now that you're all there, right? I just wanted to tie something in here from before, but it's something that God showed me. And it says there, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him and his righteousness to his children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments and do them. Now, there's a lot in there, but there's two things I want you to see. at least we've talked about them before. It first says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We just talked about mercy and forgiveness. But notice it says it's from everlasting to everlasting. How long is that? A long time. In other words, God exists outside of time. So for him, his mercy has been forever, okay? Going both ways. It's been forever this way, and it's forever this way. His mercy is everlasting. See, what God impressed upon me in my time with him, he goes, so not only in this aspect of mercy, and in any aspect of love, how long should it be active in your life? It's from, for us, it's from the moment we get the revelation of it. Because until we really got it, we have no idea how to walk it out the right way. But it starts with, I've got it. And I didn't get it on my own. God gave it to me. But from that moment on, our everlasting, eternal kind of begins. That's our starting point. He's been that way forever. For us, it's when we get it, we're now expected to do it. In fact, as I was going over this, something came to mind. I think several of you have heard Dale Armstrong teach several times over the years. And I don't know, I'm guessing if you've heard him enough, you may have heard this story. I have heard it several times. In fact, what's funny is he would say that over the years, his children would number his examples. And they would go, oh, there's number 27 or whatever. And they would joke about it because they, once again, they heard them over and over and over again. But this one applies here so good. Because I remember hearing him tell this story several times, but you'll kind of get it. And it just kind of sheds some light on what God is having me share here. He said, and I can't remember which one of his sons it was, but there came a point where his son, they were always tying his shoes for him. Always. You know, when you're little, you tie their shoes. And then there came a day where Dale said to his son, you're old enough, you need to tie your own shoes. And so he went through it and kind of showed him how, and then he had him do it. And his son, he said, kind of had this look on his face, like he didn't like this. And he said, in talking about it later and talking it through and seeing what was going on, he said, what his son figured out was, his father was no longer going to do this for him, and he was going to have to do this the rest of his life. Wow. It's the same way here. Once you get the revelation, see, when you don't have the revelation, God gives you grace to walk in some of this through situations you needed in, and you had no clue. I know from looking back at my own life, I can see, oh, I walked in that, I was clueless. But see, his grace will give you the ability to do that which is in you at a given time. But then there comes that point where, you have the revelation. And now the expectation is, you're going to walk in this forever. You're going to tie your own shoes the rest of your life. Okay? And so when God got this to me, I literally went to that and going, yep, I got to tie my own shoes the rest of my life. As he gets this to me. And I actually, how would I put this? To me, I love that, but I could see it as a little child going, Dad's never going to tie my shoes again. I got to do this on my own all the time. But to me, it's actually exciting because then now, if you're away from Dad, in other words, we're never going to be away from our Dad, but if you're away from Dad, you can tie your own shoes if they need tied, whereas before you couldn't, okay? But we can always rely on him, but he has an expectation on us, and he will aid us and help us, and will bring back to mind how to tie your shoes. Okay? In other words, when you come up to something you haven't walked in long, you'll go, yeah, you remember that? You can do that. And I'm here to help you do that. But you're to do it. Okay? Because it says in the end here, if you look at the end of that, it says, and those who remember his commandments and keep them. So you have to think back. What has he revealed to me? Got to remember it first so you know how to do it. And then do it. Okay, so it's up to us. In other words, we're the ones that do it. He doesn't do it for us. He expects us to do it. He's right there helping us, bringing back to remembrance that which we need, but we still have to do it. Okay, so those are just a couple things that stuck out to me in that verse. So now I want to go back to what we kind of talked about. Looking how the Bible tells us that love is, in fact, the foundation for everything. Literally, the foundation for everything. I'd like you to go to, and we're going to spend more time in one place today than maybe any other teaching I've done here on this subject. I'd like you to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. We're going to look specifically at detail in three of them, but I want to start reading in 14. So it says there, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, I want you to see something. That may be the longest sentence in the Bible. There is no period in there from where I started reading in verse 14 until when I finished reading in verse 19. See, what a lot of people do, and I've talked to Pastor Bill about this, I would almost like to see a version of the Bible where the verses aren't there. In other words, it says, here's, this verse begins here and this verse begins here. I've heard verse 18 taught on, I've heard a series of 10 teachings on verse 18 before, and the word love was never mentioned once in those teachings. Because they were, look, you don't see love in verse 18. That's why, for those of you who were here earlier and you heard the song they were playing just before I came up here, it says your love is wide, your love is deep, your love is high. See, that's how that's meant to be read there. We're going to show you that, okay? But it doesn't say the word love in 18 each time. It says, what is the width, the length, the depth, the height? And so, and if you teach on that outside of love, you're going to miss a lot. So I would rather that division from 18, because if you read it this way, because this is how that portion would be read, it would sound like this. If you read it one way, you would go, oh, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And let's say you stopped there and you meditated and started thinking about that. And then you pick up at verse 18 and you say, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. And you could contemplate that. And if you do those two things separately, you're going to miss a whole lot. Because even in me reading it that way, now listen when you read it this way, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. See, it's in you being rooted and grounded in love that you're able to comprehend. In other words, it doesn't stop from here to here. That's meant to be read right together. You're not going to do the comprehending without the being rooted and grounded in love. So it's a key here. It's looking at it this way. So let's look at first, even though we're going to start breaking these verses down, starting in 17. Pastor Bill mentioned the foundations again, faith and love. Well, the very first things it talks about there in verse 17, and we won't dwell long on this because, once again, I'm quite sure you all know this, but it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Starting point, foundation. And he loved us first, and when we receive him, then he's in us. But we only receive him through faith, okay? So, in other words, we don't even have the ability to walk in the love he would have us walk unless we've exercised faith first to receive him. So it's a starting point. And because we've received him, there's another important thing to know. Everything in the Bible talks about this from that point on needs to be done in faith as well. So it's a foundation. In other words, you don't receive him by faith and then do everything else from there on without faith. It's not the way it works. Okay? So it's a foundation. It's the start, but then in one of the teachings that I've shared with you in the recent past, we even find that faith, which worketh by what? Love. So, in other words, these foundation pieces are even tied together. In that teaching, it shared that what's really being said there, it is that whatever it is you're doing, to wind up at faith, there needs to be love involved. Faith, which worketh by love, meaning your faith will become activated and effective because of love. That's really what it's saying in that verse. And so even these foundations are tied together. When you look at faith, you should be looking at love. But they are foundational. And actually that word, when we start looking at this again now, in verse 17, it says, you being rooted and grounded in love. That word rooted there literally means, if you look up the Greek word and then look at the definition, it says to become stable. If you want to be stable in all of your ways, the way God would want you to be stable, it's in love. See, if you're always walking in love, you're never going to get too far off the mark of what God wants you to be doing. So you're going to be stable. You're going to stay right here, right where God wants you. So this is a starting point. And it's love that makes you stable and keeps you stable. That's what it means by rooted. And then look at, it says not just rooted, it gives you a second thing. It says rooted and grounded in love. So what does that word grounded mean? The rooted one to me was like, well, that's pretty straightforward. And for those men who were here yesterday, Ed Cole did a teaching, and I was interested to see how he did it, and I didn't have the ability to do it the way he did, but he was reaching a point to explain a truth that took a process. He literally looked at something, defined one word, and in the definition of that word, there was something else he had to define. And he put up, well, this means this. And now that you've seen this, this means this. And to understand that, then you got to know this. And he literally put up on a overhead projector so they could literally read and see what it was he was explaining. And as I share, I'm not looking to make anything, how would I put this, more difficult. Really, what a teacher's supposed to do is make it simple so you get it. But all I can do is share with you how God showed it to me. And hopefully, I prayed in advance, so believing, it's not just a hope, believing that the Holy Spirit's going to get this to you. Because it's not as simple as that first one, A to B. I like A to B, because then you can't miss it, right? So, but I want you to give you first the definition or the explanation of that word as used, grounded in love there. And it says to lay the basis for. And then it goes on and it says, which is to literally, in other words, to look at it in this word that's there, to look at it at the most literal sense, it means to erect. So now you may get a picture of what it means to erect. We'll often think of, you erect a building, you know, something comes up and you would put it on that foundation, okay, to lay the basis for. But this is what God showed me. There are several definitions of that word erect in the Bible. And as he was showing me this, he said, here's what I'm talking about here. One definition of erect is to raise a consequence from a presence. Premise, wrong word. To raise a consequence from a premise. The men who were here yesterday would have heard Pastor Bill use that word. And afterwards I go, hey, I'd never heard you say that before, and I'm going to explain what that means to people tomorrow. You may have an idea, but this is how God told me to present it. So to raise a consequence from a premise. In other words, how you see something and how it's going to play out is based on the premise. So you first have to know, what is a premise? If you really don't know, how are you going to see this the way that you need to see it? So here's the definition of a premise. It's the very first principle. First principle. See, in science, the Greeks invented what's known as the first principle. And science, often chemistry, engineering, things like that, there are first principles that whenever they're trying to solve a problem, they're looking to do something. This is the ultimate outcome. Remember the consequence we're thinking about? They're looking at that and going, how do I get there? Well, the key is they have to remember the first principles. Because if they don't apply the first principles and they try to do all these things to get there, whatever they do will all fall apart if they haven't went back to and thought of the first principle from the beginning. And see how that applies all the way down through everything else that they're trying to get to the consequence or the outcome they're getting. So what you have to be able to think of is the first principle. And God gave me an interesting way to share this with you, maybe simplifying this. And that is, my mother when we were quite young, I had some second cousins that needed babysitting throughout the day because their parents worked. And so I had a couple second cousins that pretty much lived with us for about 3 or 4 years during the daylight hours because my mom was babysitting them. And at that time, they went through the Y stage. I'm guessing, see, I have not had children, but I've, once again, I've observed, even as a child, I observed this. I may have already gone through it. My guess is I went through, knowing me, I'm sure I went through the Y stage. I'll put it that way. But I was seeing it because these two were younger than I were. I'll say at least 5, 6, 7 years younger. And one of them reached that Y stage. And everything that happened, why? And my mom would give an answer. And they'd go, well, why? Because there was a why to whatever the answer was. And then they'd give that answer. And they'd be, why? And usually you reach the point where you said, because that's just the way it is. That's the first principle. It's not getting frustrated. When you reach the point to where there's no more answer to a why, another step back, you've actually reached the first principle. In other words, what they were seeing was this. And by asking those questions why, it got reached back to the point where that one really can't just be explained. It just is. See, that's what the first principle of love is. It just is. Why? Because God is. And everything that we look at comes out of that. Why? Because it is. It's that simple. It's a first principle upon which everything else needs to be built upon. And there's nothing else you can simplify down past that. It just is. Because God is love. And so, to me, when he showed that, thinking back to my childhood of why? And I'm sure as parents, it's very easy. You might reach that point where you never reach the first principle because after about the fourth why, you just say, nope, not answering these whys anymore. But if you really do it and get back and keep going back, you'll come back to what that first principle is that can't be simplified even more than that. And so that's what God was showing me here when I was talking about this, saying that it's to erect and to raise a consequence from a premise, which is the first principle. The first principle upon which those consequences and everything else happens and needs to be looked at. So in that way, that's why I made the comment earlier that if we want to see how things are to play out in our life and see the word of God correctly, we need to be seeing it based on this first principle of love. It is the foundation. And if you don't look through it at this lens, you're probably going to see some things wrong, or at least not see it fully as you should. Maybe that's the way to put it. Maybe you have what you have to the point, but you really won't see everything unless you're seeing it through the eye of love. Because then you've established the foundation which you can build upon. What happens when you don't establish a foundation and you try building on top of it? Collapses, right? In other words, it's just not going to work right. It's not going to look the way it's supposed to look. It may work for a while. Seriously, it may work for a while. And then all of a sudden the winds of the storm comes. And there was no foundation in what it was, and therefore, boom, it no longer works. That's why establishing this foundation in love is so important. Now, I want you to see some more from this verse. Specifically, that we showed that there really shouldn't be a break between 17 and 18. It says there, for us to understand. And then it goes into what is deep, what is wide, what is long, what is high. And it should be read just like that song that was playing before you come here. In other words, to understand that, you have to connect back the fact that what you're seeing there is what you're getting rooted and grounded in. Okay? But now what's really interesting is to notice that between an 18 and 19, there's no period. Okay? The King James Version actually puts a semicolon in there. Now, what you have to understand, I don't know how many of you love English/grammar lessons and punctuation lessons. Maybe some teachers in school, but beyond that, I don't know too many people that enjoy it, okay? But it's important to see it this way. You know, the Bible talks about you can't change one jot or tittle. You know, it doesn't say, well, you can't change a single word. It literally means everything. To understand this right, you need to see this. This semicolon here is actually very important. And the way the King James puts it makes it similar, okay? There's a semicolon. The reason you use a semicolon, if you're using it properly, because it often gets used improperly for people that don't know why you should use it, but you should use it when that which comes before the semicolon and that which comes after the semicolon mean the same thing. Or they're so closely related that the two thoughts should not be separated. That's when you use a semicolon. See, if it was one thought and you were done and you're going on to another thought, you'd put a period there because it was a full independent clause followed by a full independent clause. But you use the semicolon when they mean or are closely related to the same thing. The New King James Version actually has verse 18, and then it puts a hyphen. Well, where do you usually put a hyphen at? You put down a word and you put a hyphen, and then you give the definition, which means what follows is what that word before it means. So it's kind of doing the same thing. It's saying what you saw before this is what's being said after this. They mean the same thing. They're talking about something that's so closely the same thing, they ought not be separated by a period. They're not two separate thoughts. So when you're reading about the length, the width, the depth, and the height, and all of those should be as the song was that we said, the length of love. How far will God go? How wide is God's love? And think of it that way. Love, when you're thinking of each one of those. And then read the next verse. It says, hyphen or a semicolon, to know the love of Christ. These are connected. Now, what's interesting here, hopefully I can wrap this up and stop at a point where I don't leave you hanging in the middle of the air here, is that to know is the word that we want to look at next. To know there, as when you look at the Greek word, it literally means to know absolutely. Okay? So you can kind of know something and you go, yeah, I know that. But do you know it's an absolute? And you know it beyond a doubt. This is an absolute knowing. So you can know absolutely about something. And then it says, in a great variety of applications and with many implications. That's what the verse before is saying. The width, the depth, the height, the length, all these various applications and implications of love are in this knowing. And it's to know the love of Christ. Okay? Now, what's interesting is, in the Bible, when we go back and look at the Greek and Hebrew words used, a lot of times, and in most cases throughout the Bible, there are separate words and they're talked about completely different, and that is knowledge and understanding. Okay? And there are different words that mean each one of those. And I don't have time to do the teaching now, but there's a difference between knowledge and understanding. The simplified form is, knowledge is, what are the facts? Who is God? That's a fact. Well, God is love. Okay. Now, what I like to say is, the understanding is the so what. In other words, how does anything work based on that fact? Or why does things work the way God says they are based on that fact? In other words, the understanding simplified is the how and why the facts work the way they do. That's an understanding of it. So maybe a little bit more of an oversimplification, but it does, to me, keep it quite simple. But this word here, this know, is really interesting. And this word is used in some other places. It means to both know and understand. Okay? So when you read this word know, they didn't interpret it to say to know and understand, but when you look up the definition, it says to know and to understand. And it's saying there that we may know and understand the love of Christ. Now, here's where some people get things wrong. Once again, it's reading a phrase and maybe interpreting it the way your mind works. And I don't say by yours, because mine worked the same way too, until he took me here and said, here's what this means. They'll say, well, the next phrase says, that passes all understanding. I go, okay, that means I can never get it, right? Because it passes anything that I can figure out, right? Isn't that what it's saying? No. Okay, that word, when you look up, once again, the Greek word there, that says that surpasses, which passes knowledge. It literally means to throw beyond the mark. So in other words, there is that which we can understand or know by just knowing the facts. God is love. I got that. Okay? But now there is so much more than that. There is the depth of his love, the width of his love, the length of his love. How high is his love? How do we get that? Well, it says it passes our understanding. Now, look at it this way. It throws it beyond the mark of what just a normal understanding or knowledge would be. And where do we get that from? The revelation of God through his Holy Spirit to us. So it's not that it's unavailable to us. It's there, but it's not coming from our own reasoning and figuring this out. Okay? So it's not saying, you can't get this. It's beyond you. You can never get this. No, you can. You're just not going to get it through your own capabilities. It's going to come through the revelation of by the Holy Spirit from God to you. In that, you will see and get the revelation of what is his length, the length of his love. How wide is his love? And it is on these things, and looking at it this way, that it says that we will then truly know the love of God. And it is in this that we will be able to continue to walk as he gives us more revelation and more revelation. And then we'll reach that next step up. But we have to keep, once again, expecting that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. If we desire it, he's going to give us the revelation that we need. Now, part of our part then is, once he gives us the revelation, is we have to, once again, consider it when we're going to do something else. And then actually do it. Remember, it says, he who keeps my commandments, it is he who loves me. He knows that we love him when we do what he tells us to do. We actually got to hear yesterday teaching from Ed Cole, and it was mainly about, he posed the question, how many of you teach your children the Ten Commandments? And there was like a pause and some laughter from some people in the audience. And I don't know about how many of you, but I started going, okay, there's one, two, three. One. I went through to see how many of them I could run off of my head. And I can tell you, I got to the point where there's one more. What is it? I had to go home and look it up. Okay. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew that. But at the time, I didn't. But the point he made was, how can you walk it out, let alone how can you expect someone else to walk it out if you don't know what it is? True? If you don't know what it is. But one of the things I've shared with you here is yes, those Ten Commandments are really important. And it is important that we still keep those Ten Commandments. He gave those for more than one reason. One was, until those were given, they had no way to know they were really living in sin. Okay? So it brought it out pretty, if you're doing this, and you're sinning. If you're not doing it, well, then you're doing it the way God wants you to, and you're going down the right path. Till then, they didn't have that. But see, for us now, this law is still important, because each of those things, trust me, just because Jesus came and he fulfilled that law, how many of you know it's still best if we don't do those 10 things? In other words, it's to our benefit. It's actually a good thing. We shouldn't look at it like, oh, he's done away with the law. No, he didn't do away with it. He fulfilled that law. Okay? And in fulfilling it, he enables us, through him in us, and through his strength and power, to be able to do those things too. Because prior to that, no man could do it. It's the reason Jesus had to come. No one kept that law. But see, that law is good for us. But those commandments, the New Testament has thousands of commandments in it. There's just not the Ten Commandments. As I've said here, when God says for us to do something in his word, it's not a suggestion. He's not saying, well, if you feel like it today, do this. No, they're all commandments. But they're commandments because he loves us and he wants his best for us, so that if we do what he tells us to do, things are going to go much better for us. I don't know if any of you found that play out in your own life. I found it because a few times I've not done what I'm supposed to do and it just doesn't go well. And you just repent and get up and he dusts you off and you go again. But so in the keeping of these commandments, it's very important. But we also need to know that it is the foundation for everything. And it will enable us to wind up doing more and more and living more and more like God would have us to live. And if we think of love as being this foundation, I have found since the 1st of January, it's really interesting because I never really, when I would read a passage in the Bible, I would study it out and get, okay, this is what it's saying here. I never really took the time to go, okay, if I look at this through the eyes of love, what am I going to see? So it's just kind of added one more way for me to when I look at something. What would love have to say about that? And when I've looked at some things, I've seen some things that I didn't see before. In fact, I'm going to share one of them with you at the beginning of next week. Shane actually shared something last time he shared here, I don't know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago? It was you shared? And it struck me because I knew I was already going to be teaching this very teaching. And he said, you know, I see the love of God in him giving us the freedom of choice. And I'm sitting in my seat going, I never saw that. But then as I started thinking about it and looking at it, and he talked about it a bit, I go, yeah, the love of God is even in that. I actually have talked to Pastor Bill, and he's going to share. I'm going to be gone in a couple weeks, so you're going to have a Sunday without me. And then I'm going to come back and keep teaching this. But I actually asked him, in this area of love, or one of these aspects of love, where do you see that people might be missing the connection between something and love? And he's going to share that the week that I'm gone. And I do believe I'd heard him mention this before, but I think it's one that not too many people make the connection. But when you start looking, you can look at each thing and go, what does love say about that? You'll get a better picture. So that's what God wanted me to share with you today, that it is a foundation and that you need to be seeing through his eyes of love as you look at and then walk out each thing it is you are to do. Okay? Let all that you do be done with love. So Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you that you, Holy Spirit, has put it in our hearts that the evil one's not going to come and steal this away from us. It's something we need. It is a foundation for everything that we're going to do going forward. We thank you that in advance that you're there bringing back to our remembrance that which you have revealed to us, and that you will empower us, equip us, enable us to walk out that area of love that you're showing us that we are to walk in. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.